Welcome to the Axelon Archives, where we watch each and every episode of the 90s CG cartoon Beast War. I'm James.
I'm Dode.
And we are finally at the end. We are at the end of the road. Episode 12, end of the road of the first season. Episode 26, Other Voices Part 2. Aired on April 1st, 1997, which is... That's actually somewhat appropriate given how this episode ends.
I was thinking that like 10 minutes ago before we recorded.
Yeah. Written by showrunner and story editor Larry DiTillo. Of course, very important to the show. Directed by Ezekiel Norton. Second of three episodes he directs. The other being The Probe and the other being Nemesis Part 1. So I guess he likes doing endings.
Mm.
Also, he's a big lifer with Mainframe, directing episodes of Viva Pinata, Reboot, the Fox Kids Action Man Reboot, the CGI Spider-Man, Scary Godmother, and the Revenge of Jimmy. Oh, Scary Godmother, the Revenge of Jimmy, which also had Gary Chuck and Scott McNeil. Plus a special effects department for, he's done visual effects for a couple movies, including Percy Jackson, District 9, Night of the Museum 2, 2012, and Cabin in the Woods. That's a pretty good resume.
Yeah, so most of the movies that he did were from with a different company. I forgot the name of the company.
Not important since we're kind of rushing.
Yeah.
So, weirdly, I sort of have Transformers news, though not super positive, where I've been like reading more comics on the train, and I started reading Megatron's Origins, Transformers Origins Megatron. Since it was not free on Comixology Unlimited. And I like to talk about, like, the IDW comics. Unfortunately, that one's not so much a good one. It's mainly notable for there is a scene where Megatron is a pit gladiator. General Megatron takes off the bucket head and reveals, like, flowing hair, but, like, panels. It's weird. Okay. I don't know why they made that choice.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's also has very muddy art, but, like, all the people in the art would get much better and do the, like, Lost Light, More Than Meets the Eye stuff, so we got that out of that. We got good Alex Minide and good, I don't think Jose LaFuente, he's the colorist on that. I apologize, I get that wrong, but we don't have time to, like, go and look that up right now. Because we gotta go into this episode, because we are on the final countdown. And in rewatching this episode, I realized I made a mistake. I originally watched Other Voices Part 1 and Other Voices Part 2 back-to-back before we did the recap of the first one, and I got some of those events confused, particularly the how the Planet Buster will transform in this one. Which I think is part of the reason why you were so confused when I was like going into this like very detailed description of what we were going. I was like, I don't remember that at all, but I'll take your word for it, James.
Yeah. Well, no, I was like, I know I'm right, I'm just gonna let this go, though.
Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway.
So you rewatched it for this episode, for today's episode also?
Yeah. No, I rewatched it, and that was when I realized, like, whoops.
That explains it. Okay.
Yeah. So we open up with, the moon in the sky, surrounded by blue energy, and we cut to Cheetor, who says, what did he say, like, holy pussycat? I didn't write it down, but he did get a line. A very Cheetorism.
Something like, I didn't get his, yeah, I didn't get
holy,
his line, something like
holy
that.
Holy cats.
Holy Swiss cheese.
Oh, I'm sorry. Suffering circuits, what could it be? To which Tigertron replies, the light at the end of the world.
Yeah. So, they're looking down at the Planet Buster, you know, just shooting the beam down, doing his job of busting the planet.
Yeah. Well, it's not just yet, it's still powering up. The Maximals are returning to base. Rat Trap, riding Air Optimus for the first time in a while. Saying that he's been saying it since he's called it since we've been there. They're all gonna die. This time it looks like it's gonna be true. We do cut back to the initial site where we hear the Vok voice say, termination sequence, return to Nexus Zero. And the energy leaves, and initially it appears that, like, oh, it's all over. In fact, we cut to the Terracon base, and Terrasaur's just like, oh, hey, we scared them off! Which Megatron is like, no. Don't be a dumb. And even says, like, they're gone, and also the moon is gone. But then, of course, this is where we learn this is no moon. It's a planet buster. And this is where that complicated transformation I described last episode actually happens.
Yeah, I'll put the final product into the visual companion, but I can't get the entire transformation.
Yeah, just listen to the bit I gave at the end of this episode of, like, it transforms, it shifts around, creating, like, two rings with, like, a kind of a flower thing in the center. Let's see. Megatron tells everyone in his ship to lock up the doors and put up the shield, because he is initiating Project Zero Hour, and he's putting all of his faith in Tarantulas, which seems like it would be a bad idea, given Tarantulas' scheming nature. But we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, Megatron just goes like, hide your kids, hide your wife.
Huh? But this is also where he discovers that in checking to see what the heck Tarantulas is doing, he kind of gets a free show, since the Maximal shields are down. So he gets to watch in and see what's going on. So speaking of which, on the Exelon, Tarantulas is going all Hackerman, wearing I thought it was the same thing as a Tigertron we did in Before the Storm, but no, this is like kind of a little, I want to say like Cyclops monovisor, though, like obviously he's not using for that, plugged in while he's programming the pod to escape the planet. Black Arachne tries flirting with him, saying like, looks a little cozy for one, but he just blows her off. He's like, I don't have time for this. And to which Black Arachne walks and is like, well, I'm just waiting for you to finish so I can finish you off. When they get company. Not Maximal company, though. Good old Inferno. Who promptly knocks over Black Arachnia and accuses Tarantulas of treason.
This is where we get my favorite line of his for pretty much any time he says it. It's like, burn, traitor, burn.
Yeah. Because he tries to call it into Megatron, but unfortunately the interference, he can't do them, which is bad for Megatron. And this because since Tarantulas tries and like fires one of those like arc crescent missiles at Inferno, grabs it out of the air, and that's when tells him like, you will suffer the fate of all traitors, burn, and lights Tarantulas on fire, who like runs down the hallway and eventually like runs to a wall, knocks over and falls down, which takes him offline, which makes Megatron very angry, since he's relying on Tarantulas. And in fact, I forgot actually a really good Megatron line. When all the Predacons are panicking, Megatron says, brilliant! They're causing a chain reaction which will rip this planet to atoms and destroy all traces of them, simply to deal with us! Such sheer ruthlessness! Such disregard for sentient light! I rather like these aliens. Tarantulas is like them? They're trying to destroy us! And Waspinator gives, of course, the immortal line, Waspinator not want to be destroyed. Waspinator has plans.
I really wish we'd gotten to see those plans.
We will. I forget some of the episodes later thing. He makes one of like the only Predacons that survives into Beast Machines.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the only one. We didn't say who else.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Anyways, the rest of the intact Maximals show up and realize something's wrong since the shields are down. To which we get a second, like, we're all gonna die from Rat Trap, in which we get a stereo shut up Rat Trap from Optimus and Air Razor, which is a nice test. Like, gotta ramp up the stakes last episode. Mm-hmm. Can't just have one person tell him to shut up.
Yeah. I think it was Air Razor notices the Tigertron and Tito are on their way back.
Yeah.
And we cut back to the inside of the stasis hold. Where yeah. Inferno's just looking over the pod, I guess trying to just figure out what Tarantulas was up to.
Yeah.
And Black Arachne goes to beast mode and just jumps on his face.
Yeah. And we get what... I think sometimes we're, like... Sometimes, like... We don't always go super critical on the animation, but occasionally point out, like, when stuff looks clunky. And I will say, to their credit, this is probably the best one-on-one combat fight in, like, they've done in the entire series. In terms of, like, staging and animation and not looking, like, super, like, marionette-y. Any, like, action figures, like, flailing at each other, like some of the other earlier fights.
Yeah.
So, like, Black Arachnia drops down on Inferno, and, like, I think tries, like, biting him, but, like, he shrugs it off and throws her. So he starts shooting at her, to which she starts, like, kind of, like, Matrix, like, dodging to the side to get out of the way. Mm. Like, then they, like, they exchange some, like, quick kicks, and, Inferno thinks he has Black Hunter, to which he, like, baseball slides underneath his legs, kicks him in the back, which causes his gun to, like, fly up in the air, grabs it, and then shoots him point blank to, like, take him out.
Yeah, and then she, just to add insult to injury, she says, that'll teach you to back shoot a widow.
Yeah, which is what I tell tracers when they try to ambush me in Overwatch. I actually don't play Widow, but, like, I wrote that one in advance.
Right.
Anyways, so she's stuck with a pod that isn't working yet, and a charbroiled tarantulas. So she gets the Viter and tells him sorry, partner, and goes into his head to download the data tracks. And we get kind of did you ever play Psychonauts?
I know of Psychonauts, but I never played it.
This was like many years beforehand, but like it kind of reminds me where she drops into like a very trippy mindscape. That looks like Tarantulas' lab from, like, a couple episodes ago. Or suddenly a bunch of, like, giant tarantulas' heads start, like, cackling at her. And she screams. To which point we cut to the Maximals, where they found out they finally find Dinobot and Rhinox, who are webbed to the ceiling. And kind of out of it.
Yeah.
In fact, they actually aren't going to be doing anything in this episode, though Rhinox will get one line.
Yeah, Optimus tells us Tigatron and Cheetor to get them into the RC chamber.
Yeah.
TR chamber. Which actually is keep that in mind during the rest of this episode and I guess part of episode 1 of season 2, they are inside the R chamber.
Yep. Rattrap says, like, oh, shouldn't we just turn on Sentinel? You know, like the whole complicated defense system. We had a whole episode about that. But us is like, no, we can't spare the power. Which I thought kind of funny is like that was the whole point of like said that was part of the whole point of Sentinel, like interior defenses.
Yeah. Well, also later on, he turns on the shield because of the Planet Buster attacking the planet.
Huh.
I'm like, your shield's already on. Is it really gonna cost that much more power just to turn on the internal guns?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at this point, it isn't actually blasting just yet. It's.
Yeah, that's, no, I'm just saying later on they do that. Just...
I think at this point the Planet Buster fires, and then we find out what the Vox plan is. It's basically kind of like a giant heat ray that's going to like ignite all of the energon deposits on the planet and cause it to explode. That's actually where we get Megatron's line about like him like admiring the Vox.
Yeah, a little bit of pseudoscience I have to point out. So Sentinel mentions that it's superheating the planet's surface,
yeah,
and they're at 140 rads and climbing.
Uh-huh.
So in real life, rads are a unit of radiation that has been absorbed. So between 100 and 200 rads, there are noticeable effects, but usually not fatal. I'm assuming this is supposed to be infrared radiation that's been absorbed, I guess. So that's the only... That's my no prize for why he's using rads to measure heat. Yeah.
Alright. And then, we cut to Black Arachne, who just manages to finish Broken the Frost, who's just, like, surprised, like, hooray, I did it! I did it! And then... Suddenly, as Cheetor and Ares are label guns at her head, and like, yippee. To which she responds, like, are you aware that we have a truce? Such a good line. Particularly her delivery. Especially knowing she has also violated this truce. And darn well knows it.
Yeah.
Also, special shout out that, for I don't think this is happening in any other episode. Like, Eraser actually has a unique gun this episode. It has, like, kind of, it kind of looks like one of Rat Trap's blasters, but it has, like, a hawk head around it. Normally, she just has, the wrist rockets.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the model for her gun is Rat Trap's gun with some feathers on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. Everyone's got to, their own bit of flair.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying the feathers part. I'm just saying that they use the same model as his.
Yeah.
But you can just say those are just maximal pistols.
Huh.
Yeah, so Optimus is on the bridge, and the surface temperature keeps getting higher. It's at 300 rads, and anything between 200 and 1,000 in a few hours will cause serious illness with, like, some not likely to get out of that on your upper range. Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Rat Trap calls up saying that we're in a stasis hold and there's something you need to see.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, we do get another cheater line where he says, "Leaping lasers!" So they head to the hold and, Optimus finds the pod and just is he's just like, this might actually work. Where he observes that, all of the Vox technology seems to be purpose-built for, one thing. Because, there's a good chance that if this thing's made to just blow up planets, it doesn't have any defenses. So we can just pilot this thing up, cause a transwarp explosion, and blow the thing up and save the planet. To which pretty much all the Maximals present object, because that's kind of super dangerous. Tigertron offers to go up in this place, because, in a nice bit of continuity, he's like, no, I've done enough damage to this world. It's my burden to it. Like, Eraser insists you can do it, I'm a flyer too. I can do it. And at which point, Optimus turns to, Rattrap and says, so, you gonna say anything? And Rattrap says, nah, suicide's not in my job description.
Which, in a nice bit of, nice retort, Optimus says, yeah, it's not in mine either. Set up a timer for the transwarp explosion so I can actually get out of there.
Yeah. Black Arachne, as he's gets into the pod, says which is very tight fit. He has to hold up the tips of his feet, and I think kind of compact his shoulder things. Makes the comment cozy. Black to which Black Arachne responds like a coffin.
Yeah, so an animation error here. So he literally just folds back his feet so he can close the pod.
Right.
But they actually, instead of just folding down his shoulder pads, they made him smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta cheat. Black Reckoning also says, you realize this is totally crazy. To which Optimus gives, another kind of immortal line. Sometimes crazy works.
Mm.
Yeah. And then we finally get, a big heart-to-heart with all the Maximals, saying their piece. Optimus saying, you're the best crew I've ever worked with. To which Black Reckoning is just like, I was like, do Maximals always touch such slop? Or I think Eraser just clocks her.
Yeah, it was Eraser just punched her right in the face, and Rat Trap says, my sentiment exactly.
Yeah. So then we go into the big finale, where the hatch doors open, Optimus blasts up into the pod, all the Maximals on the bridge, watching what's happened. And meanwhile, over on the dark side, Meg's gets a signal from the pod and sees that the transwarp signal has been altered from Tarantulas to Optimus, to which he cackles with glee. Because, we get to find out what his plan is. As Optimus gets close to the Planet Buster and primes the explosives, he pulls the lever on the hatch to blow the seals in so he can get out of there, to which the pod tells him, unable to comply. Magnetism is sealed. Which he gets a moment to say that's impossible before Megatron shows up in hologram form to gloat and reveal that he has been controlling the situation the entire long. Way back in before the storm where Tarantula stole the cell.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, Megatron has been controlling it, and he basically came to the same plan Optimus had, though in his version the pilot's gonna die. Obviously, he was probably planning to, he was initially planning to send Tarantulas to his death because Tarantulas is a treacherous spider, but there's no way in heck he's gonna pass up Optimus. He also makes a very good line, like, "Oh, you Optimus, you Primes, do so love sacrificing yourself."
Well, no, I wrote down the exact line. You Optimuses do love to sacrifice yourselves, don't you? Unfortunately, this time your foolishness will destroy you and your Maximals. The Beast Wars are over, Optimus. You lose.
Which Optimus yells, "Megatron!" as the pod explodes, taking out the Planet Buster in a very, like, Death Star-esque explosion.
So, one thing we should, it's really quick and you might miss it. Around the time when he's screaming Megatron, you actually hear the sound of his arm cannon going off and glass shattering. So, I think he was actually trying to blast his way out, but he just didn't have time to get out.
Yeah.
Which, I like that. I for the entire time I thought he just stuck in there. Yeah. But I like that he's, like, got enough forethought to just try to blast his way out.
Oh, I thought you were going to point out the other thing, where, like, after, like, blasting, you see the scrap, you see a bunch of, like, debris falling in the flying out the camera, and if you look closely enough, you can see his head in there.
Yeah. Something we forgot to mention. As the pod gets closer, we cut to the Axelon, where everyone's wondering why he hasn't jumped out yet.
Yeah.
Black Arachne, his eyes go green, and Tarantulas' voice comes out. Too late. Goodbye, Optimus. Then maniacal laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. We also get, like, I think one line from, like, Rhinox, like, from the CR chamber, I think, going, like, Optimus.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Which will kind of get paid off next episode.
Yeah. But yeah, that's how the episode ends. With an explosion and then the end? ? In space.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's the end of the Axelon Archive. Obviously, this is the end of the show. Optimus Prime is dead. The Beast Wars are over. Thank you for tuning in. This podcast was a lot shorter than I anticipated.
I'm glad we both decided to go for the same joke.
Yes.
One thing we should mention about the episode, though, actually, on the commentary for the Madman edition, we actually get the reasoning for why they chose slag as their slang term. I believe it was Larry Detilio, Bob Forward just, like, comes in for a minute Larry Detilio and, I think Gary Chalk are, like, doing the actual, commentary for the episode. He explains, like, yeah, he was looking up, steel terms, because he's all these robots are made of steel, and he saw that slag is, like, a form of detritus in a steel mill that's pretty much unusable for anything. Yeah, so that's why he chose it. I guess he didn't know about the British meaning for it.
Yeah, no, that one would stick around for a while before it went away around Transformers anime. Sorry, animated.
Where, Transformers anime would be the next series after Beast Machines, yes. Where it's in disguise.
Yeah, where the Dinobot Slag gets got renamed as a result.
Yeah.
And I think there's even a bit where, like, someone mentions, like, yeah, I tried calling him Slag, but he didn't like it.
they changed his name to Slash, right?
No, Slash is the Raptor. Like, I think it's Slug. I forget.
Slug.
I know, like, the comics will still call him Snarl. It's an S name.
Do you watch Dragon Ball Z Abridged?
It's been a while, but
So at one point Frieza calls Guru Slug, and he's just like, "Leave my brother out of this." Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah. Super Kami Guru is just hilarious.
There's also a bit of trivia that I didn't know is they originally planned for a Gen 1 cameo in this episode, where when Megatron's doing his gloating, he was going to be projecting an image of Optimus of Gen 1 Optimus Prime. Which, it makes sense when he talks about his line about, like, oh, you Optimuses always love to sacrifice yourself.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a huge loss not to have it.
No, I mean, it's, like, there are certainly, like, other things that they couldn't do that, like, in retrospect, I'd love it if they didn't do. That would have been just, like, a neat thing that they couldn't, that they didn't end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, let's see.
That's character. All I got to say about the episode.
Yeah, so, no character spotlights, under the circumstances.
We actually, oh wow. Yeah, if we thought this was the, if we were doing this as the show was airing, we probably would have done a primal right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not, because events will ensue where we'll have a different opportunity to do it.
I will say, like, since I actually did watch this live when it originally aired, like, that caught me completely off guard and just, like, what happened? Like, is that the end of the show? Because back then, you know, there wasn't always information on, like, whether a show was going to get renewed or not. Or just, like, oh, there are new episodes of the show. And while we've talked a bunch about, like, the early Transformers Online fandom, I wasn't a part of it. So I didn't even, like, have that to go on. So like, the season two, when I'm just like, is there going to be another season? They can't just end it that way. Optimus is dead.
I'm pretty sure I missed this episode and Aftermath. Because, like, I thought that Optimus just got... the same thing happens to Cheetor and Rattrap. I thought that just happened to him, too. Yeah. So, yeah. No character spotlight. We do have actually something from the Golden Disc.
Okay.
Apparently. Cool. Yeah,
you can read them off, and then I'll say what I was going to say.
Okay, yeah, so, Lewis says that he feels like he's supposed to come back for another episode. And then also we got a new follower, Comic Connection Oak, who is basically in Oakville, Ontario. So we actually have a Canadian listener.
Oh, hey! Get in contact with us. We'll let you come on the show.
Yeah, no, that's actually...
talking about, like, Canadian television.
Yeah, so he was wondering if we could if we have any availabilities left, which we'll be getting back to him soon.
Yes.
But yeah, we actually have a Canadian listener now, so... we'll probably be talking to you specifically when some weird stuff happens with Canadian TV.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what I was going to say is, in lieu of character spotlight, do you want to give our, like, overall thoughts on season one?
Feels like they finally found their footing towards the end of it.
Yeah, no, I would say it's overall the weakest, even though, like, I know there's some stuff I'm not going to like when we get to season three. Since it does start off as a very, like, episodic television show, it doesn't really have any, like, big grand ambitions, and it kind of slowly builds them. It's very similar to the original, the original season of Reboot. There's a lot of just, like, one-off, like, totally random episodes in Reboot that are, like, super goofy. Like, the one where, like, that it ends with, like, Megabyte and Bob getting, like, a Battle of the Bands thing. Which is, like, very silly considering the fact how that show ends up. So, you can see kind of a lot of parallels. It is also the longest season. It does kind of make me wish the other ones did have a couple more episodes, since, like, I remember them going by kind of fast when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, think of that season 2 and 3 are, like, combined as long as season 1. They're going to be gone, flying by in no time.
Yep.
Yeah. So, so I guess that's our MVBs now. So you started, so my MVB, I was going to give it to Optimus, but honestly, like, Megatron kind of won the episode.
Yeah.
And apparently the Beast Wars.
He did. He won the Beast Wars. He's pretty good at that. I think, like, he does the same thing for, like, the end of season two.
Yeah. Like, there's a sketch I'm going to be quoting, like, Megatron has plans, big scary plans, and he always enacts them pretty well. Yeah. So, James, who's your MVP?
I'm gonna give it to Black Arachnia for, like, getting too much. Like, this is the episode that kind of sells her as, like, being like, oh yeah, she's, like, kind of like a dangerous fighter, where instead of just doing, like, a bunch of, like, quick kicks they repeat repeatedly. She also gets to, like, do science stuff. There is going to be some consequences to downloading Tarantula's thoughts into her brains, that is, we're going to see in coming seasons. And also a special shout out to Waspinator and his plans.
Yeah, buddy, we really hope you get to see your plans.
Yes. You would have gotten them in, like, season 4 of Transformers Animated. All right, so next episode. So, no episode next week, but we are going to be doing some bonus content where we cover two convention-exclusive comics. The Theft of the Golden Disk and Dawn of Futures Past, which kind of are designed to be prequels to Beast Wars, and see, like, and kind of set up, like, how they all ended up, like, how they ended up all on this crazy mixed-up planet.
Yeah, although Theft of the Golden Disk is just a video.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that one's technically a video.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for listening to the Axelon Archives. If you have any questions or wish to guest on the show, just want to talk about Beast Wars, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Axelon Archives, or by email at axelonarchives@gmail.com. Find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbean, and Stitcher. Please leave a rating and a review because it helps people find the show. Check out our website at axelon.buzzsprout.com. If you want to follow either of us on Twitter, you can follow me at Discord_Inc.
You can find me at Dowfact.
And until next time, the Beast Wars will in fact continue.
Maybe.
Well, I can't I could just say question mark. Dot 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 question mark.